The Utah Jazz reverse course and are listening to trade offers for Donovan Mitchell. What's going on with the Jazz and where could Mitchell end up? It's the Wednesday episode of Locked On NBA. Let's go.
You are Locked On NBA, your daily NBA podcast. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Welcome to the Wednesday edition of Locked On NBA, the daily podcast covering everything you want to know about the association, which, hey, does not stop, and there needs to be a five-day-a-week podcast on this. On Wednesdays, I'm your co-host, Jake Madison, at Nola Jake on Twitter, and the host of the Locked On Pelicans podcast.
And I'm John Corrales, at John_Corrales on Twitter, and I host the Locked On Celtics podcast.
Don't you love when a show just comes together, John? Just yes. Texting throughout the day, like, what do we talk about today? And then, boom.
Yeah. You go from the morning conversation of, what the hell do we talk about? Those guys yesterday stole all of our good topics. Matt Moore, damn you. And then it's like, oh, you know, we're fine.
We're very fine because it sounds like the Utah Jazz are finally starting to listen to offers for Donovan Mitchell. So that's a pretty big story. We'll talk about that, where he could end up. But of course, thank you for making Locked On NBA your first listen today and every day. We're here and available Monday through Friday for y'all, breaking down everything you want to know about the league free, completely free, giving you the biggest hits, the biggest stories, covering it here. So let's start with the Donovan Mitchell report coming from Woj, saying the Utah Jazz are listening to offers for Donovan Mitchell. Like, yeah, that's reasonable to do, but it feels like it's going to be way more than that. Like, my read on this situation is they have to trade him. And you've seen a couple quotes from Danny Ainge basically saying as much, right? After that trade of Rudy Gobert for basically just picks, right? And salary float Sam, right? Just to make the numbers work. But very much those picks are why they made that trade. You know, Danny Ainge said, quote, this season wasn't very much fun this year. The draft wasn't fun. Free agency wasn't very much fun. You're over the top draft picks and our team loses in the first round. It wasn't fun for us. We want it to be fun for our fans, our players, but we just haven't had flexibility to do anything over the last little while, end quote. This is a brutal quote if you're a Utah Jazz fan. And if you're a Utah Jazz fan, you might want to just like tune out right now. It basically, it's saying our window's closed and we got to start fresh, right? Like that's what that is saying.
So when Danny Ainge left Boston and retired, quote unquote, not surprisingly, he turned around and went to Utah. I thought there were two places going to go: Portland, which is where he's from; Utah, which is where he's kind of almost like based. He's very active in the Mormon church, and that's where the Mormon church is based. So that's also a place that makes sense for him. And so, okay, yeah, it was Utah. And I knew he didn't want to exactly be done with the NBA. So then I got a bunch of calls from Utah radio stations, and they were all asking the same thing. John, what's Danny Ainge about? What can we expect? And my answer is always, Danny will do the hard thing that no one else in Utah has wanted to do. And this is it. This is it right here. No one in Utah, and it's understandable in Utah, you're thinking how close you are. Just this. We're just going to do that. Just going to keep flipping this. You know, okay, it was Mike Conley. Okay, it's not Mike Conley. It was Bogdanovich. Okay, maybe it's not Bogdanovich. Maybe it's this. And you will continuously want to tinker around the edges. And Danny Ainge comes in and says, nope, whole thing's broken. Whole thing is broken. And the more we tinker around the edges, the longer this whole process is going to take. And probably the less value everybody's going to have. So I think he saw the market. And frankly, I think he sees the conversation around Kevin Durant. And he's saying, all of these teams are looking at Kevin Durant trades, and the Nets come out hot. We want everybody, man. We want your, you know, Karl Anthony Towns and Anthony. And he's like, nah, you know what? I'm going to come out with picks. I'm going to come out. Now everybody's like turning down the Brooklyn Nets. I'm going to say, hey, you know what? I am listening to Donovan Mitchell overtures. So, oh, you thought the Nets came in and were too greedy? I'll listen to Donovan Mitchell stuff. And I think Danny's like kind of timing the market and is kind of swooping in for a team that's put off by a Brooklyn conversation. Is like, well, Utah will be more reasonable and he's going to get what he wants.
That's funny, right? Because he has completely screwed up the Kevin Durant trade market with what he traded Rudy Gobert for, in my opinion, right? That was like 280 cents on the dollar for Rudy Gobert is what Minnesota gave up, all of those picks. And that then killed, you have to trade Kevin Durant for more than that, I think, though I know you disagree and we talked about that last week. But it screwed all of that up. And so he can be like, well, yeah, I've got a more reasonable trade here for a guy that's also like 10 years younger than Kevin Durant is. And over the past 5 years, he's scored over 20 points per game. The only guy to do that for his first 5 years since Allen Iverson, which is pretty wild. You know, after that Gobert trade, right? Like, what was this team? What was this roster? What were they going to do, right? They've kind of reached the end of that window. And once you let one of those big pieces go, and then you also have Quinn Snyder leaving too, kind of by mutual consent to a degree, like, what's the point of keeping Donovan Mitchell on this and just going forward? As you said, right? Like, if you tinker around the edges, that involves trading away future first for a team like this, for those type of players. And eventually you're just kind of like out of picks and you've got nothing left to really truly reload with. So it always seemed like it was going to head this way. And this also lets him get out ahead of a potential Donovan Mitchell trade request, which we've heard for years at this point, rumors about. You know, there are kind of, I think, open questions of, does he want to live in Salt Lake City, live in Utah? Is that kind of an ideal place for, you know, a player like that? And it seems like the answer is no. And we've seen people nix trades to them in the past because they don't want to live there. It just seems like this is just kind of preempting something that was going to happen anyway. And that's a smart move to do.
Yeah, I think, I mean, look, at least listening is a smart move, right? Because you don't have to trade Donovan Mitchell now. I'll present an alternate theory and see what you think about this, because I just have a lot of experience with Danny Ainge through the Boston connection, and I'm really trying to use his past history as part of a guide moving forward. Listening to overtures, listening to trade doesn't mean shopping necessarily.
No.
And so Donovan Mitchell, there's this kind of gamesmanship. Like when Danny Ainge had Paul Pierce, and Paul Pierce had a decision to make where he and Doc Rivers were butting heads. And it was really a low point in Paul Pierce's career. Pierce had a kind of like a come to Jesus moment, and he decided he wanted to stay, and they built around him. That's when they made the trade for Ray Allen and Kevin Garnett, and they built a winner around Paul Pierce. Now, I don't know exactly what the situation is with Donovan Mitchell, but I can't rule out that some of this is gamesmanship on Danny Ainge's part, where he's going to play a game here with Donovan Mitchell. And we've talked about this before. They've kind of taken away all of his power within the franchise. And the Celtics under Danny Ainge didn't have players who were pulling a lot of the strings. The team was kind of separate. Like, they didn't have a lot of that. So taking that kind of power away from Donovan Mitchell gives him the choice. Do you want to make a trade request? Are you going to be on board with what's going on here? You've got a few more years left on your deal. Are you going to buy into what we're doing and we can build around you? Or are you going to say, I'm not into this, and then we can trade you? Either way, it's either a full rebuild, or they use the picks, and they still got Mike Conley to make a deal with. They've still got other players. You know, Rudy Gay, that's got a couple years left, that, you know, you can try to make deals around those contracts, and you can try to kind of tinker around that and say, give us a year or two and we'll get you a winner here in Boston, in Utah, if you want to buy into what we're doing, but we're doing it, not you dictating it.
I mean, that's a smart move, right? In the player empowerment era, trying to kind of wrestle as much of that back as possible and control and take leverage away from a guy, I think it's like, keep your team competitive and not be in a situation like the Brooklyn Nets, probably a pretty good one. I also think they could keep him because I think it's kind of hard potentially to find a trade for him. And why don't we talk about that coming up next? Because there's some serious complications with that. Let's break that down, what that is, coming up here next in today's episode of Locked On NBA. Before we do that, though, today's episode of Locked On NBA is brought to you by rockauto.com, my favorite sponsor. I work on all of my cars myself. I got a 1976 Corvette sitting outside. I get all my parts over at rockauto.com because it's cheaper than anywhere else. You go into one of those chain stores, they're going to have one part in stock. It may or may not really fit your car, and you're going to be stuck paying the price price that they want to charge you for it. That's it. You don't really have any other options there. You don't need to deal with that. Just go to rockauto.com and look at their super easy to use website. And it's super easy. Year, make, model of your car. And they're going to show you all the parts available for your car or truck. You got different price points. You want performance parts. You can get those. You need something just to keep your car going so you can get to work. You can get the cheap one too, and it'll fit and it will be great for your vehicle. And if you don't work on your car yourself, but you've got to take it in, buy the part on rockauto.com and just only have the mechanic charge you for the labor. It's still going to save you money. So rockauto.com is your absolute solution to any auto parts needs. So go to rockauto.com right now. See all the parts available for your car or truck, right? Locked On in their How Did You Hear About Us box, so they know we sent you. Amazing selection, reliably low prices, all the parts your car will ever need. Visit rockauto.com. And thank you for making Locked On NBA your first listen today and every day. We're covering everything you want to know about the association, which apparently is a never-ending string of trade requests and rumors about big-name players. We got it all covered here. Subscribe wherever you get your podcast. Tell a friend about the show. And, of course, leave a comment down below on YouTube if you're watching us there. All right, John, trades for Donovan Mitchell. We all love the trade machine. It's been getting a lot of work this offseason. But this is kind of difficult, right? Because I think a lot of people would immediately try and create a trade between the Utah Jazz and the Brooklyn Nets. But that doesn't really work. And that's the same reason why it's tough to construct a trade potentially to the Miami Heat too, at least a kind of two-team deal. And that's that designated rookie extension that we've heard a lot about when it comes to the Kevin Durant thing of you can't have traded for two guys on those designated rookie extensions. So you already, for the Nets, it would then work actually for the Miami Heat. So that actually works out in their favor. But for the Brooklyn Nets, they traded for Ben Simmons, who's on that. So they could not pair Ben Simmons, Kyrie Irving, let's say, and Donovan Mitchell together. So it kind of it leaves us to looking for like three team trades. I did have that wrong though. Adebayo's on one, but he's not being traded in this case. So maybe the Miami Heat, who are rumored to be interested in him, like immediately become the front runners, I guess.
Well, I mean, it's just a matter of what do you value? I feel like Miami can say, hey, we've got Hero, we've got Robinson. That's the centerpiece of a deal. We're going to put something together. I don't know that that's what Utah would be looking for, considering what they got in the Rudy Gobert trade. If you're mm-hmm. looking for a bunch of picks, it's either you get all of those picks to make the picks, or you get those picks to trade and flip for win now pieces. So if you're trading Mitchell away, I'm going more pick heavy on the return. And I'm not thinking that a Miami return of whomever they send back is going to be as valuable, because now you're opening up a window of a few years of championship contention. Those picks, I don't think, are going to be as valuable as maybe you can get from somewhere else. So I think Miami, sure, can be in the mix, but I don't think that they're at the top of the list.
I mean, also it was like Tyler Hero and Duncan Robinson as a centerpiece, as you said, like really that attractive, like in the first place for a player of Donovan Mitchell's caliber. And I think people underrate maybe Mitchell a little bit, given some of the Utah Jazz struggles the past couple of years in the postseason. But, you know, for a guy who's been who's 3 years straight making the All-Star team, that young, that good. Like, also, can you imagine Tyler Hero wanting to play in Utah? Like, I feel so bad kind of crapping on a small market like this, but going from Miami to Utah, they're going to be thrilled to be there, aren't they? They're just going to be frowning in the press conference if they were unveiled, I think.
Yeah, I mean, yeah, I'm with you on that. I don't see Miami as, I feel like Miami's trade package has been kind of overblown.
So yeah, that's fair. I agree with that.
I think we just have to look elsewhere. And the question is, where is that elsewhere? And if the Jazz are just looking at draft picks, I don't think that they are necessarily looking, like, there's a tendency to look to the East for mm-hmm. these trades. I don't think it's going to matter for Utah. I think you can stay in the West. It's a matter of where in the West can they get this done.
You'd look at maybe a team like Memphis, if they're kind of really like, we're going to go all in here. They have a couple other assets. They have some young, intriguing players too. They've drafted pretty well. You know, is that potentially an option? Would you like that to pair him in the backcourt with Ja Morant potentially?
Well, sure. The problem is you're a lot of these leave you with very undersized backcourts.
Yeah, you're okay.
You know what I mean? And it's I'm not sure where the fit is, but look, Memphis going all in could work, but I would think that they would have to trade Tyus Jones, and they just signed him. So that kind of changes. Mm-hmm. Like there are a lot of recent signings that in theory, I could look at Portland and say, hey, maybe Portland can say, oh damn, maybe this is an upgrade over Anthony Simons. And you know, you can trade him in picks and the Jazz can be like, yeah, that's a young guy, but he just got signed. So he can't be traded until January. So there's like, I would say, oh wow, Portland could put this package together, but all of a sudden there are restrictions here. So if we're doing it in the summer, like you can't trade Tyus Jones, and they might want Tyus Jones. But Memphis could be a target. What about Dallas? What about Dallas kind of coming back and saying, hey, here's okay, Jalen Brunson, you're out. Well, let's upgrade that spot.
Upgrade here.
You know?
Oh man, the Knicks would be so upset. We're used to playing
smaller shooting guard. Why not?
No, I don't hate that. I don't know if they have a package they could put together. I'm kind of looking at their roster right now and like, what would it be? And I'm not entirely sure there's something that makes a ton of sense. I do like the idea in theory. You know, they're kind of used to that, right? He's better than Brunson is, certainly, I think. And it would relieve some of the pressure off of Luka Doncic. So I don't hate Dallas. And this just also seems like a Dallas kind of move, right? That seems like something the Mavericks would definitely do. So no, I can see that being an option out there, particularly if the market's kind of frozen. And again, maybe that Rudy Gobert trade to a certain degree has upended this market, right? Where it's overinflated things that people up. So this is something that could drag on into the regular season. And maybe it's a deal that gets done at the trade deadline. And I think, you know, teams should be lining up to trade for Donovan Mitchell too, especially because he's under contract for 4 more years. So there's a ton of time there. You have team control, which is always a big thing. I don't know if we're just throwing out teams in the West. What about like OKC and pairing him next to Shai Gilgeous-Alexander? You know, if you're talking pick heavy, it just accelerates their rebound. So we all liked what we've seen from Chet Holmgren in summer league. If you can somehow come in OKC and give up all of the other young guys that they've drafted, is that an intriguing option?
Sure. I mean, look, Houston and OKC with all of their picks are obvious targets. I mean, they seem to be the types of places where you could send a guy like Donovan Mitchell, who's still, you know, young. He's 25 years old. So he immediately gives your franchise some legitimacy. So, or like immediate, like, oh, wow, you're really going for it. So
yeah,
OKC could be a place. Houston could be a place for sure where you could maybe, you could look at moving some, assets, some of the picks that belong to other teams. And, you know, those picks got to go. One of the things, and Danny Ainge knows this very well, you can't get caught with too many picks. You got to start moving them at some point. You got to start cashing those in. So one of those teams is probably just sitting around waiting for a star to shake free, as long as it's the right one. Like a Kevin Durant trade for Houston or OKC doesn't make any sense.
No, makes no sense.
But 25-year-old Donovan Mitchell, 4 years left on his deal, that could make sense, because at the very least, if it doesn't work, then you can turn around and flip him again in a year or two and say, hey, we'll try again somewhere else.
This just popped up on my Twitter timeline as we're talking, and I forgot about the quote from Pat Riley on Danny Ainge. Do you remember this?
Was it the fax that he sent or the press release that he sent?
The Danny Ainge needs to shut the expletive up and manage his own team. He was the biggest whiner going when he was playing, and I know that because I coached against him.
Yeah.
You think Danny Ainge is actually going to answer a call from the Miami Heat on a trade?
Oh, that'd be funny. That'd be fantastic. Hey, look, business is business. And
yeah, I know.
One thing I know about Danny is he kind of like looks at that and probably laughs. Yeah. Can we come up with like the most hilarious place to make a deal for Donovan Mitchell?
Please. Where would that be?
The Minnesota Timberwolves.
For Rudy Gobert, maybe.
Yeah. No, let's get that pairing back together. What if Minnesota says, hey, we think that pairing was actually really good. Why don't we trade D'Angelo Russell and some of our other pieces and really go all in on this? They've already given up all of their picks, though. That's the problem.
It's kind of the problem. They're already there.
That would be probably the thing we've ever seen, right?
That would probably be in NBA history. Let's make it happen.
I would love, if there's anything I want to see happen, it's that. I mean, the Knicks are going to be the obvious team because there are ties to New York from Donovan Mitchell. Like, that's got to be the obvious one. But they do have picks to give up. They've got first rounders, their own, Dallas's, Detroit's, Washington. They've got a bunch coming up here. They've got a bunch that they can trade out. They could probably give up like 3 first round picks in this upcoming draft if they wanted to really send out a ton of picks. So I don't know. Practically speaking, I'm sure the Knicks would want to try. I don't know what a Brunson and Mitchell backcourt would look like because I probably wouldn't be able to see them on the floor, but you know, we'll be able to, you know, that would probably be one of the more functional places where we could see him go.
Yeah. And they've got to be like lusting after him, right? Like that's almost like the perfect guy for the Knicks to kind of go after in a sense with like, as you said, ties to everything there. You could also include Julius Randle in a trade to send out, you know, there's some value there. If you try and flip him later down the line alongside those picks, the salaries are probably pretty close without really looking at it very deeply. Yeah. That makes sense. If you're looking at the East, and certainly they've probably been one of those teams that has called that they've answered the phone about, you would have to imagine that. I don't know. The more you and I have talked about this, I don't see this happening this offseason necessarily. You know, same kind of with Kevin Durant, or it's going to play out really close to the start of the season. But look, this just means we got more to talk about once the season gets underway, right? More content here for Locked On NBA. I was about to ask, that's all we need. Before we head into the next segment, because I think it's going to tie into that, real or fake? As we do every Wednesday, you know, can Donovan Mitchell be the best player on a championship winning team?
I will say real, because he's okay. I'm very hesitant real there, but he has a propensity for hitting big shots. He has a thing in him to rise to the occasion. And I think under the right circumstances, yeah, I think with the right teammates, yeah. Can he be the best player? Yes. Can he be, is he a guy that wherever you put him, they become a championship contender? No, and I think that's a different question. But if you put him with the right teammates, then yeah, he could be the best of the three teammates for sure.
Yeah, like I would say real like that. Like I'm trying to draw it out a little bit because like I'm not completely... It's basically a maybe, but if I got to play by the rules of the game here, I've got to say real. And so I'm going to kind of like draw it out to be a question, because you're right. Like, I think people look at him, and again, he's undersized at 6'1", doesn't play much defense, but he's a good scorer and a guy that can go out and get you buckets. That's a useful player to have. But this ties into what we're going to talk about next, to some other guards, Damian Lillard and Bradley Beal. That's coming up here next in today's episode of Locked On NBA. Before we get to that, though, today's episode of Locked On NBA is brought to you by BetOnline.net. BetOnline is your number one source for all your betting needs and sports info. So you can find all the latest sports developments, league reviews, and news, including Major League Baseball, golf, fights, boxing, whatever it is you might want. BetOnline.net is your continued source for all your sports wagering information, including live betting, esports, and scores. Plus, you can probably get in on the next team that Donovan Mitchell might be traded to. So BetOnline, it's the fastest and easiest way to check in on everything and put the wagers down that you want. So head to the website today or use your mobile device to learn more about the trends and the action over at betonline.net. BetOnline, where the game starts. And thank you for making Locked On NBA your first listen today and every day. We're here Monday through Friday for y'all, breaking down everything you want to know. So subscribe if you get your podcast, follow along on YouTube, comment down below on YouTube too. Do you think Donovan Mitchell can be the best player on a title winning team? But what about two other guards that signed some big time extensions this offseason, Damian Lillard and Bradley Beal? John, take it away.
So the question is, real or fake, can Beal or Lillard, one of the two, can one of those two guys win a championship with their current team? And I was listening to a competing podcast on a four-letter network. I'll just say I was listening to Zach Lowe's podcast. And they brought up an interesting topic. Bradley Beal is being treated as a, oh my God, what's he doing? If he was serious about winning a championship, he'd go to another team. Yet Damian Lillard is seen as, wow, that loyalty, man, that guy is really all about it. So it's almost like two separate conversations there, but they're kind of in the same boat. So I kind of was curious, can either of them, having just signed big extensions, or will sign in Lillard's case, that 2-year, $120 million, whatever it is, can either of those guys under these giant contracts win a title where they are?
So,
or real or fake? One of them will. That's the phrasing of the question.
So it's fake, right? Like, it's fake. There can't be another answer other than fake. I'd be shocked if you say real in any capacity here. Part of it is just, this is a different question, right? Than can Donovan Mitchell be the best player on a title winning team, right? I definitely think both those guys could be, just not on the current teams and the current makeup, hence the question here. I don't have a ton of faith in Portland to really kind of get it right. You know, they're kind of spinning the wheels to a certain degree, trading CJ McCollum away, only basically to just sign younger CJ McCollum in Anthony Simons. It's more or less the same kind of player, just younger. So there's nothing wrong with that. I just don't see them being dramatically different than they were a year ago, or even at the time when they were kind of their best, right? Making the Western Conference Finals, clearly never really being able to get past those Warriors teams. And when you look at how competitive the West is right now, those play-in tournament teams might be winning close to 50 games or something along those lines next year. It feels like it won't actually be the case, but it feels like that. So no, I don't see Damian Lillard winning a title at all with that current makeup of the Portland team, barring some crazy shakeup, and I don't see that happening. And it's more or less the same for Bradley Beal and the Wizards, right? There's not a ton of flexibility, a ton of future assets to kind of retool significantly around him. And for those reasons, I think it's fake. I think if you even came in and said real or fake, it's a greater than 50% chance that they could win a title with their current teams, I would still say fake.
Yeah, I think this is more an indictment on the front offices of those two teams, that these contracts, and it's an indictment, I think, on the system itself, which
I agree with that.
The topic at hand when that conversation was going on that I wanted to kind of extend into our podcast, which was, what are they supposed to do? What is Washington supposed to do here? What's Portland supposed to do here? They're in positions, especially Portland, in a smaller market, wildly popular guy who raises the level of everybody's play. Like, in Lillard in particular, takes a team that you can say, well, on paper, without Lillard, and you just put, here's a good player, here's a 40-win team, and Lillard gets you to 52 wins or some craziness.
Yeah.
Because he's good for like 4 buzzer beating wins.
Dame time shots.
You know? So the thing with Lillard is, well, if you're the Blazers, of course you're going to sign him. Of course you're going to give him money. In 2 years, 100 and whatever $20 million that number is going to be is a no-brainer. At the same time, it doesn't put you in a position to make other moves easily. And that's going to be the position that Washington's in. And that's going to be a position where a lot of these teams are in. There's a loyalty factor here from the teams, from the players, but you end up getting punished for that loyalty that fans want. This is the thing that fans want. People in DC love Bradley Beal. And I'm not saying that as a universal thing, but here's a guy who is loyal to his team, has been there forever, wants to stay there. And suddenly it's a negative. And I, that part I don't like. We're supposed to reward these types of situations. So no, I don't think that they can win titles with their current teams. But I say that to say the system kind of sucks. And that's going to be one of the things that when the collective bargaining agreement, when they opt out, and they will in December, like that's going to be a thing. And we have to watch that closely, because really what this conversation ultimately is about is, hey, is there going to be some sort of labor strife at the end of this upcoming season? Are they going to be able to come together on some of these issues? Because this is one of those issues, and continue making tons of money. But this is something that has to be, I think, solved.
Yeah. Okay. Now I see why you posed this question to me when we were planning out the show, and it's not, I was like, this one seems obvious. Okay. So yes, I agree with you on everything you just said, right? It's more about the system. There was nothing either of these teams should have done anything differently when it comes to how they handled the contracts of these two guys. Could they have made some other moves here and there? Yeah. To be more competitive. Could they have drafted differently, better? Certainly. Right. But that's tough, but it's a system that in a sense can very much penalize you for keeping your own guy and giving him that 25-30% of the salary cap, which makes it really tough. And I wonder if teams, and I don't imagine this would happen, you know, do you not pay the luxury tax, maybe dollar for dollar, whatever it might be, on your own drafted guys or something like that, to try and kind of find a compromise for the Portland Trailblazers to almost get rewarded in a sense for drafting well and bringing Damian Lillard along and being able to keep him here. And if they had more money to spend and create a better team, are they able to keep him there longer because they're more competitive, right, than him jumping ship to another franchise? Same for Bradley Beal. I don't know if that's the fairest way to go about that in the NBA, but this is a conversation that's going to be had to a certain degree, right, about the Warriors' massive luxury tax and salary bill for basically paying their own guys. Lacombe is paying a ton of money for giving his for that team drafting well and going into the luxury tax to keep their own guys and not being cheap and letting one of them walk, a la OKC.
I think when we look at the tax system and how punitive it was designed, I think, before the salaries were exploded the way that they did. Mm-hmm. It was designed before we saw the TV money coming this high. And now even a non-repeating team, for people, I'll do this as simply as I can. There's two tiers of taxes, a repeater and a non-repeater. If you've been in the tax for three of the prior 4 years, you're a repeater and your taxes are exponentially higher than the others. And even if you're a non-repeater, you start at $1.50 per dollar that you're over, and every $5 million you're over, it goes up. It goes up to like $250 and $275 and $325 and then $370. So the Celtics, for example, dodged the tax last year and went out of their way to dodge the tax. And now, by virtue of their signings, Brogdon and Gallinari, they're looking at a $45 million tax bill. Okay, not a big deal, right? So what? But they're about $19, almost $20 million over the tax. So now put that in Washington's language, mm-hmm. where you feel like you have to re-sign Beal and you have to re-sign Lillard. And now if you're like, well, we have to do this, but also we're not making enough money where we can pay a ton of taxes. So now you're cheaping out on the types of players you need to put around those guys to make them good. Or you have to hope that your owner's like, all right, fingers crossed, we're going to take a leap with these guys. But at that point, you only have a very short window, and this better happen. Because not everybody's the Warriors with the Chase Center. Not everybody's got Steve Ballmer. And those guys are paying $140 to $150 million in taxes alone. So the whole system is a mess. And a team like the Warriors and a team like the Blazers are kind of stuck. And the system doesn't allow for their loyalty to pay off.
Yeah, that's a fair way to put it. That's basically what I said. So, like, yeah, you got it here. Okay. That was it. Yeah, it's just what are you supposed to do? They've done nothing wrong with how they kind of approached Lillard and Beal, and it's the system, right? Again, maybe you need to find ways to not pay luxury tax money on guys that you draft, and that's just not counted towards that, and it reduces that wage bill. So all of that. So those are things that I'm sure they're going to look at. I don't know if that's going to change. That's going to be one of the more intriguing parts when they have to renegotiate the CBA and if we get some labor strife and a lockout here. So I don't know, but definitely neither of those two teams are going to be winning a title with either of those two guys on these contracts or anytime soon, which is a sad thing because I would love to see either of those two guys get a title, like two of the like better, nicer dudes, it feels like, yeah, in the NBA. So there you go. All right. Donovan Mitchell might be traded. Those guys aren't winning titles. That's going to do it for the Wednesday episode of Locked On NBA. On Wednesdays, I'm your co-host Jake Madison at Nola Jake on Twitter and the host of the Locked On Pelicans podcast.
And I'm John Corrales at John_Corrales on Twitter. And I host the Locked On Celtics podcast.
Thank you all for listening. We're part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day, and we'll be back with you all next week.